with the missionaries in Germany and reaching the community there? Do you think of the seniors and preparing for next year, that you'd give them wisdom? Pray for all these students as they're working through the school days, and just for strength for that. We definitely pray for the economy and the parents here, so many of them tied into the automotive industry, and that their faith would be strengthened in you, and that, I don't know, with the change in tie with the politics and leadership, for wisdom. Wisdom to lead us as they follow you. I do pray that our country would come back to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it? Oh. Okay. I turn it off or on? Okay, am I good? Nothing. I broke it. That is correct, right? Am I good now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Oh, isn't that horrible? Where did Big Bird go? With Thanksgiving coming up, this is my my new fun with this. But you know, Sesame Street has really hurt me because there is no longer Veggie Monster. That doesn't work for me. It's got to be the Cookie Monster forever. I'm telling you, I hate to break the news to you. Some of the worst news you've probably heard in a long time. It's no longer the Cookie Monster. Okay. Hey, before I get into this, Oakley Christian School, state champs in soccer. Thank you. I'm no longer coaching for that, but I'll just take the credit anyhow. But our finals was 1-0, which is nothing like Rochester Golf. 56 strokes or something like that. Amazing. Congratulations. That's sick. My number one guy golfer is friends with the sisters. And so he talks a lot with them, and his brother will golf with them, but we would like to recruit your team to play for our guys' team, because you know, that's amazing. So, okay, we are in Luke 12. Luke 12, you, the next slide for me, please. Are you going to be my constantly hit? I'm sorry to do that to you, but I wanted to put the passage up. What's going to happen is I'm going to have the passage up there. We're going through 12 verses. Once we finish a section looking at NIV, we're going to go right to the Message Bible on each one of them, okay? So, in verses 1 through 3, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, capture this first of all, okay? People are piling in. This whole group's coming in, and they're all over the place, and they're trying to find their way in. And before he even addresses everybody, he kind of like, can I say, goes to his boys, and kind of says, you know, let me just talk to you guys for a moment. And everybody's all, you know, literally, would say, trampling on each other. And he's going to address some things that of the people who are coming. I don't think everybody who's coming automatically really wants to know what Jesus is saying. We know from Luke that there's people who are there trying to find him saying something they'll disagree with, somewhere they can turn on him, something they can kill him for. And that's when he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There's nothing concealed that will be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. When you have what you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed from the roofs. And so he just basically is like pulling this group aside saying, be careful of hypocrisy. and they can look around. But also I think he's like setting the stage for them for the future, saying, tough times are going to come. Realize the things you are saying. Be real. Be consistent. What you say in secret, be willing to say to the crowds. What you're saying to the crowds, make sure it's consistent with what you're saying as a group. And kind of like not hiding. Can we get the next slide, please? The Message Bible. It's interesting. The NIV will give like a subtitle, which is not part of Scripture. It's just a subtitle of what the passage is about. And the NIV says, warnings and encouragements. The Message Bible calls the section, can't hide behind a religious mask. Can't hide behind a religious mask. By this time, the crowd, unwieldy and stepping on each other's toes, numbered into the thousands. You know, it's kind of interesting. We have, 45 people here today. Maybe 52 or something like that. Okay, somewhere in that area. And we're concerned with my microphone. Right? Well, we know that because we have the website now. Yeah, we want to get the mic system, and we spend a lot of time and money into getting the mics correct. And Jesus has thousands coming. Just try to capture this large of a group coming to get their attention. I work with seniors at Oakland Christian. And it's the senior class. I mean, it's broken into two classes, but when I have the whole group together, I mean the large group together, it's 55 students. We only have 40 juniors. We did a field trip a week ago for a Bible conference. And so I have 95 students possibly there. And I'm trying to get everybody's attention. And it's interesting how hard it can be to get 95 people their attention without a microphone. And Jesus has thousands coming. And I imagine if they're trampling on each other, the commotion's a little noisy. And all this is going on, and Jesus just I'm not going to say he's oblivious to it. He knows what's going on. But he focuses on his disciples. But Jesus' primary concern was his disciples. He said to them, watch yourselves carefully so you don't get contaminated with Pharisees' yeast. Pharisee phoniness. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your true face will be known. You can't whisper one thing in private and preach the opposite in public. The day is coming when those whispers will be repeated all over town. And again, I think a lot of this is, Jesus is preparing the disciples for the time when he leaves, saying who you really are is going to come out. Right now, you can kind of hide behind me. But soon it's you guys. And what the disciples went through, is amazing things as far as their death. A lot of them. How did Peter die? I've heard you say it. Crucified, upside down. Andrew, they changed the crucifixion to an X and crucified him upside down on an X. Thomas, there's this discussion with as far as him being dragged through the streets in India behind horses, and then was it spears or was it arrows that they shot through him? And then some are wondering, was he already dead when they did that? James, they took to the pinnacle of the temple, pushed him off, and then stoned him. That one's recorded. We had some of these. The other James was recorded in Acts 12, that he died by the sword. They cut off his head. These guys are going to go through all this kind of stuff. And we're preparing seniors for college. If I knew that was going to happen to you in college, the things I'm going to prepare you for, Ray, you're going to be going to college next year. Let me prepare you for some things. Let's see. What happened with John? Oh, yeah, he was put in boiling oil. That one hurts. Let me just tell you, that one might hurt. But just, Jesus knows this is going to happen. And he's like, Don't give in. Don't preach one thing, but then when you're back in the cell, renounce everything so they let you go free. When it comes to life and death, stay true. Don't fall away. Most of you know that I have my bus driver's license, one of the major accomplishments of my life. No, but I've now had it for, 23 years, I think. But some silly things you go through with a driving test. Colors of signs mean things. And when a bus driver says, I'm supposed to know, like, this kind of truck, if it's, like, nuclear stuff it has, or if this is explosive stuff. Like, it makes a difference. Like, you know what? Now that I know that it has that stuff in it, I won't get in an accident with that truck. Now, if it was just carrying, you know, fruit or something, well, maybe I'd have an accident with it because, you know, that's not going to hurt me. But, you know, I have to know all these signs. Sit next slide for me, okay? Very familiar with the yellow one being a caution. And I think that's what Jesus would be doing here. Like, the caution sign coming up. Things are going to come up. A warning to you. This is pretty, like, crazy. It's just like... I think I'd, like, be so busy watching the sign that I'd, like, trip down some stairs or something. I recently fell down a couple stairs. And I'm laughing about this, I know, but I fell down a couple stairs. I was really tired. I was at school. I'd be late there and stuff like this. And I'm going down. And I was thinking that I was like done with stairs. Have you ever done this? Don't admit this. No, you haven't. I'm just the only dumb. I know. But I went, and I wiped out. And it was right where stairs come like this way. Then there's like a platform, whatever. Then stairs go down again. So I'm right at this, and I'm at school. And so I look down those stairs, no one's there. I sit up, look up, there's no one's there. I was like, oh, no one got a chance to enjoy me falling down the stairs. Because you know the students would have loved it. So I'm not going to do it for you intentionally just so you can like laugh at me. But just, you know, these kinds of signs. But that caution. Jesus is saying the caution is, and you know, Kensington Church, large church here in this area, they're doing a whole series of an apology right now. I'm sorry. The whole thing about I'm sorry is, from the church standpoint, is people outside the church don't want to be part of the church. What's the number one reason? Because we're all a bunch of hypocrites. That's what they'll say. And so they're evaluating themselves saying, you know what, a lot of the things you're complaining about is true. It's true. They're saying we're sorry. Hypocrisy, the warning against that. Can we go to the next one, please? Hypocrisy talks about putting a mask on. I don't know if you'd ever want the Burger King mask. This is that new dental mask. I don't know if I'd want that looking at me. And then I don't know if... I have a guy in bowling. I think I've told you this before. When he gets to the 10th frame, he's a JV bowler. He puts on a mask for the 10th frame, and it's time for El Magnifico. This is great. I mean, you know, my league again was... Troy Athens, Royal Oak School, Berkeley, Ferndale, all these schools, and we're all in a bowling center together, and then it's time, El Magnifico, and the mask comes on. Everybody's like watching, goes, and Christian's like, you guys are pathetic. No, just the coach. And then he bowls. He always bowls better with a mask on, but, you know, we really need to be careful about wearing these masks, and that's kind of what hypocrisy is talking about. The word comes from meaning, it means to be an actor. One who plays a part. It's like I'm playing a part. Is it that I'm playing a part when I'm at church on Sunday? That I play this part that I'm a Christian? Or is it that I'm playing a part during the week? Because I truly am a Christian, but when I get with my friends, I'm a chameleon. You know, the colors change so I can blend in. My language might change a little bit. My humor might change a little bit. My ethics as far as cheating or helping someone else. I mean, I didn't cheat. I just gave them my paper. If they write down the answers, that's up to them. But I didn't cheat. No, I'm helping somebody else cheat. I'm helping someone else sin. I'm sinning by helping them sin. Is that where I change? Because pretty soon you forget when you're wearing the mask and when you're not. I remember having a student who wanted to be liked, so as they started with a school, they started with this British accent. Because everybody likes an accent. They started going through this. They had never been to England. Their parents weren't from England. I'm looking at the records. I'm like, well, this is different. The interviewing process, this didn't happen. And so I'm looking through this. I'm like, this is all a part. And they started playing the part to the point that they believed the part. That's scary. But we do that. We need to be so careful that in playing a part, we don't continue the part. There are people that we've watched on TV shows that if you were to see them in real life, you'd almost expect them to play that part. And we need to be careful about... I mean, anybody watch Office? The Office? I mean, I know if I saw Dwight now, I'd expect him to be like... If I interviewed him, I'm like, okay, we'll say something dumb. I just don't know. You start playing these situations. And matter of fact, some people play a part so strongly in movies that they can't take another part. You know, sometimes it's hard to take Jim Carrey in a serious part. You know? And then that becomes like a major challenge for an actor to be able to play a serious part, a humorous part, you know, and do the whole mixture. We need to be careful that we don't live our lives playing parts, playing roles, changing who we really are. Next slide, please. Hypocrisy, I'm going to go into 4 points with it, but the first one, the danger, it grows. He compares it to yeast, and hit me the next one. You guys ever watch I Love Lucy? Yes, oh! Angela loves I Love Lucy. Okay, it becomes a joke in her family because her dad hates it. So growing up, she'd always watch I Love Lucy. This is one of the classic ones where she's going through the candy, she's supposed to wrap this, and they're not supposed to let any candy get by that's not wrapped. So the ones they can't wrap in time, they just start eating. But there's another one that happens where, and normally it's Lucy that always does the interesting item. But her husband, Ricky, they talk about switching roles, and so Ricky Ricardo is now going to play Lucy's part, and Lucy's going to take his, and was it Ethel and Fred or whatever, the Mertz, right? They start switching roles. And when it comes to baking, Ricky takes yeast, he's making some bread, and he just puts a whole bunch in. And so as TV can take this, you start, you know, building on this, and bread's coming out everywhere, and it's all over the place. It only takes a little yeast to affect something. And when you're baking, just a little bit changes everything. And what's funny is, or not funny, what's sad, Jesus is pointing out, you know what? Hypocrisy is like yeast. It just takes a little bit. Read this book just recently called The No Complaining Rule. Highly recommend the book. Because it talks about there are people in our lives who suck the energy out of us. And it's just by their little complaints. They just sit back there and they just complain about something. You know, they could be in this room and it's like, it's too dark. We're like, oh, okay. We put the lights on. They're like, I can't see the screen. Well, make up your mind. Do you want it darker? Or do you want, you know, you just can't please some people. They just like always have to complain. They feel like it's their spiritual gift to complain. And they just drain us. The yeast of hypocrisy, it just takes a little bit. And we know that Satan talking to Eve, didn't totally lie. But he did. Because he took the truth and just twisted it a little bit. And when he twisted it a little bit, it became a lie. And if it's a lie, it's a total lie, right? And that's so often what can happen in our lives. Just taking the truth and twisting a little bit totally messes it up. So the first one we have to be so careful about with hypocrisy is it does grow, and it grows quickly. And it can get out of hand to a point where we start believing what's happening. The second point, the next one, would be the problem is it's going to be exposed. And this is this section of verses 1 through 12 really have a lot of different phrases in there that you're familiar with, but you don't know where they're from. You know, this one we really refer to a lot about all of our actions in the future being exposed. That what we do here on earth is going to come forward in the future. And as we stand before Jesus, seeing everything, everything being exposed, this is a verse that a lot of people refer to. The other verse I'll refer to is Hebrews 4:13. Thank you. Oops. Oh, you know what? I do want to go. You're right. You're right. Obviously, you're right, because you didn't change anything, did you? Did you change the order of my slides? I didn't think you did. Okay. There's nothing concealed that will be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear of the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. So he's talking about that time. Can I have a couple of humor slides on hypocrisy? Hit the next one, please. We find this a lot with different things where, and this is a political humor, some of you may not catch it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining it. But, you know, we could pick on someone else's belief system, whatever, and they get all offended, but they've been picking at ours all along. And so, give me the next one, please. This one's great. National Association of Telemarketers. Absolutely no soliciting. Telemarketers are the ones that are constantly calling your house and you don't want to answer that phone and the machine like that, but they don't want anybody doing it to them. I thought this is a classic. Okay? Hit me with the next slide now, I think. Okay. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. How we live is seen by God. There are no hidden sins. There are no secret sins. He knows everything. I've been talking with a number of students recently, and there's a couple of things I just want to convey again when it comes to sin. First of all, Satan is not omniscient. Okay? Omniscient, all-knowing. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan cannot read your mind. Okay? With that being stated, what comes into our mind is not in and of itself sin. If we let it pull up a chair and we spend too much time thinking about it, then it can become sin. So if we're talking, you know, lustful desires, those kinds of things, that coming into our mind in and of itself is not sin. That's temptation. If I spend time thinking about it, then it's sin. The fact that it came in my mind, Satan doesn't know, because he can't read my mind. But if I start doing some actions, or if I'm, you know, going on the internet, I start moving around, he then can tell from my actions what I'm thinking and then can tempt me more that way. But don't give Satan too much credit. All right? With that all being stated, what does go in our mind, Satan can't tell how much we're thinking on it, but God does. And that's who we need to focus on. Am I pleasing God or am I not? And what temptations come about from that are often from my own actions that bring more about with that. Can we go to the next slide, please? The third one, the cause of hypocrisy, is the fear of others. And we really need to be careful, because we will please whomever we fear. The person we fear, we somehow please. And it's amazing. There are some people you don't like at school. There are some people you really don't appreciate at work. As we get older, we don't say we don't like them. We just don't appreciate them as much. It's the same feelings, right? But there's some people you don't really like. I mean, you love them in the Lord, but you really don't like them. And yet we let them rule our lives. We try to please them, because we're afraid of them. You know, that whole movie of Mean Girls. People start to kiss up to the mean girls, because if you're in with them, they're not attacking you. That's true in our schools. The bully. You know, you do anything for the bully. You don't like the bully. You'd love to see him take a fall. Not like my fall, but, you know, not that I was the bully of the fall. But, you know, you'd like to see something happen to him. Yet if they ask you to do something, you'll do anything for them, so they won't pick on you. The fear of others. The passage that we continue on in Luke 12, he talks about, I tell you, my friends, and let me stop right there. That whole section, it just captures me, because here Jesus is talking some heavy stuff. He's talking about that God knows everything that you're going through. It's going to be exposed. That hypocrisy. He's talking some heavy topics. And then he just throws in there, my friends. And the song you chose this morning, and that he calls us his friends, you know. It is just a nice choice, by the way. But it just, as you come together with this, all these people are coming in, and Jesus is pointed at these individuals. And they could be thinking, oh, hypocrisy, man, why are you coming at us about this? We've been true to you. We're the ones following you. We're the ones in the front row. And then he goes, let me tell you, my friends. Wow. I mean, that is so cool. Tayshawn Prince practices at Oakland Christian from time to time. And I would love for Tayshawn to come in, bring AI with him now, you know, the Allen Iverson, and say, yo, AI, I wanted to meet you, a friend of mine, Randy Johnson. And I would say, you don't have to call me Randy Johnson. You call Mr. Johnson. No, I mean, it's just, you know, be a friend of mine. It's not going to happen. I'm just, you know, it's my dream world, right? But for Jesus himself, God himself, to say, you know, my friends, I just think it sets an interesting tone for this whole section. But, you know, I'm now talking, you know, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. If I heard that phrase, I just wonder what I'd have been like in the first century. When Jesus says, my friends, I'll be like, sweet. You know, don't worry about those who kill the body and do no more. Like, what else? you know, those who kill the body, you know, that's a problem. Pardon, I'm allergic to pain. It causes me to break out in black and blue. I just, don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body. I'm capturing this. I'm like, pardon? Question? No questions right now. No, friends? Question? You know, like, can I just, you know, that killing the body, that one might bother me. You know that? Okay. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Yeah, okay. Making sense. Note to self, yep. Fear him. That hell thing, don't like. For like a long time and longer. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. And this is why Brady has me preaching this one. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all... Yeah, 12. You're all numbered, right? Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I just wonder, you know, which of the disciples were bald when he said that? You know, look at pictures of disciples and just, you know, and knowing that Jesus was personable and that you could laugh with him and that I might got caught to the podium. Okay, never mind. But, you know, it was kind of like this kind of conversation, I think, going with disciples. And I wonder to what point he ends up saying something like, and even the hairs in the head are numbered. And then like all the disciples like, look at me. I'll be like, sweet. That's nice. I wonder why at that point does he refer to, you know, sparrows? Because very well what could have been happening is a sparrow flying by. My silly view would be like, we're talking about this and all of a sudden you hear something in the window and you look outside and there's a sparrow laying down. You know, it's like, you know, those sparrows, they're not worth very much, but they're important to God. And if they're important to God, how much more are you important to God? created in His image, to the point that He would send His Son to die for you. Wow. Now we're talking. And so, as when He gets into this whole thing about the fear of others, you know, be careful who you fear. Let's go into the Message Bible this one, okay? I'm speaking to you as dear friends. Don't be bluffed into silence or insincerity by the threats of religious bullies. True, they can kill you, but then what can they do? There's nothing they can do with your soul. Your core being, save your fear for God who holds your eternal life, body and soul in His hands. Go back with me to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace if they don't bow down to the king. And it's kind of like, you don't own us. You know, you can kill us, but there's nothing else you can do. And in that culture, when we go back to Daniel 3, you'll realize it was a big deal to try to control someone's future. The king thought they could do this. Matter of fact, even with one of the disciples, I'm trying to think which one it was. I don't think it was Matthias who took Judas' place. One of the disciples, after they stoned him to death, they cut off his head. And you look at him and say, why would you do that? And I think they were trying to control his afterlife. Kind of like saying to the gods, this one died of stoning, but he's really bad, we're cutting off his head. Does he, you know, in the next life have to walk around with no head on or something? I mean, I just don't know what will happen in the afterlife. What, you know, how are we going to tie God's hand? It's really silly things. But that belief system was constantly there. And afterlife was really talked about a lot. They really thought about that. We don't spend as much time thinking about it in our culture. We're more into right now, make me happy. If I don't throw a funny slide up for you in the next 5 seconds, I might lose your attention. But the afterlife was everything. What's the price of two or three pet canaries? Some loose change, right? But God never overlooks a single one. He pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all the bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. And I wonder with this whole conversation how much the Pharisees heard. It becomes interesting. You know, excuse me for a moment. Eric, something I want to do right after this. You know what's funny? When I said that, I got everybody's attention totally. I have nothing I really want to say to you right now. I just want to prove a point that when I call out to you like that, everybody listens. It worked, didn't it? You can fess up. I got you. You guys stop moving. You listen like no other. I do that in class. I don't yell in class. If I yell, they start talking louder. I call out to one person in the back and just start talking to them. Oh, you're not going to believe what happened. Everybody listens. Or I use two words that get every student's attention. Test or sex. I don't have to say it loud. Better if I don't say it loud, especially if the door's open, because if, you know, principal's walking by or something, you know, Saxon, like, pardon, you know, get myself in trouble for it. It gets everybody's attention. I just wonder when Jesus said, I feel piling in, he's like, oh, my friends, I need to talk to you for a moment. If everybody's listening. And the Pharisees are catching in. And he's like, you know what, don't be like the Pharisees. They're phonies. Don't be like that. Don't wear a mask. Don't be a hypocrite. And I wonder who else was listening. And if with all the commotion, it starts stopping, because the quieter you talk, often the more people will listen. I yell, you might tune me out. It's like, oh, you're yelling too much. I'll go home for yelling. You know, I get that enough. No, whatever. But okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Last thing with hypocrisy, the cure is to fear God. I mean, if we really have a healthy sense of fearing God, knowing that the future judgment, knowing the blessings, knowing that He has everything in control. Right before I came in here, dear friend of mine, a parent here who came up to me and he said, the economy's really hitting the church. This is hurting us. You know, we're 99% automotive here. And he said, but it's such a blessing because we really have to put our faith in God. Wow. At a time like this, to really turn to God. You know, it typically is a Christmas bonus of whatever amount, you know, being the thousands of dollars and something like that. And people get that like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and then they go on. It's, you know, we like thank you, Jesus, when things are going well. But to really turn to God when times are rough, I'm listening to this guy, I'm like, wow. That's an awesome perspective. That right now, you know, with our country, with tough times going in our country, could it be that our country would now realize we need to turn back to God? Could the difficulties be good? Really, the cure for hypocrisy is to fear God, to only want to please Him, to in every situation, if I can please Him. Let's go to the next one, please. Verses 8 through 10, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, so the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will also be disowned by the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of God will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Let's go message Bible right to it, okay? Stand up for me among the people you meet, and the Son of Man will stand up for you before God's angels. But if you pretend you don't know me, don't you think I'll defend you before God's angels? If you badmouth the Son of Man out of misunderstanding or ignorance, that can be overlooked. But if you knowingly attack God Himself, taking aim at the Holy Spirit, that won't be overlooked. This becomes a section we'll often refer to as like an unpardonable sin. What sin is it that you can't be forgiven for? What sin is like the worst thing you could do? And it refers to the Holy Spirit. Why don't you go back to the other slide, because this one's more our terminology. Thank you. You know, which one is it that you will not be forgiven? Oh, I thought it was a forgiving God. There's one sin that you won't be forgiven for, and he refers to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of our need for salvation. It points out our sin. The Holy Spirit, He is the one that's like His responsibility. And if we reject Him, if we turn against Him, it means we have rejected salvation. And if you reject salvation, you will not get saved. You will not go to heaven. There are some belief systems that have it down that there's a waiting period after the person dies. And if people pay so much money, or if they do a certain baptism, or they do certain good deeds, they can help that person then get into heaven. That's not in Scripture. In Scripture, let me put it this way. There are no grandchildren in heaven, only children. I won't get to heaven based on my parents' work. That would make me a grandchild in heaven. I'm a child of God. Once I accept Christ as Savior, I am His child. It's now a relationship that I have directly with Him, not through someone else. And if I reject the Holy Spirit, I never give my life over to Jesus, then I'm not forgiven. And Scripture says, I will spend forever in hell. I know we don't like to talk about hell. Jesus talked more about hell than He did heaven. We need to realize there actually is a hell. So So sometimes they'll refer to this as the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is if you don't get saved. Please realize that. There are things where maybe I'll say something bad about Jesus. Maybe I'll stub my toe and curse God. Shame on me. That's wrong. That's sin. But that's not an unpardonable sin. Unpardonable sin is rejecting salvation. Go two slides. Give me back to the... Go forward and one more. Thank you. Oop, go... Oh, no, no. Go the other direction. I want 11 and 12. There you go. That's what I want. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. The last two verses. When you have brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about what you'll defend yourselves and what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Next slide, please. When they drag you into their meeting places or into police courts and before judges, don't worry about defending yourselves. What you'll say or how you'll say it, the right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. Amazing contrast here. The one I think of the unpardonable sin is we reject the Holy Spirit or we just don't listen to Him. He's convicting of us of sin. And we say, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person. You know what, maybe I sin a little bit, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Whoa, they're really bad. I've never killed anybody. I'm not that bad. And we maybe don't reject Him, we ignore Him. And by ignoring Him, we've rejected Him. You know, if someone was offering me an ice cream right now, and I just ignore them, not true, you know it wouldn't happen, right? If they're offering me asparagus, and I ignored them, you believe that one, right? if they're offering me something, I ignore them, I've in essence rejected it. If I ignore the Holy Spirit, so the one verse says, if you ignore the Holy Spirit, not good. The very next verse is he's saying, you know what, when you get dragged into the courts or when you're pulled in before, and I'm wondering how the disciples are taking this. You know, when you get dragged into it, it's like, that doesn't sound fun. Jesus, I thought you were bringing a new kingdom and we'd like be rulers and leaders with you and it'd be really cool. Now, when you get dragged into courts, don't worry about what you're going to say. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you the words you need to say at that time. A major contrast, as opposed to ignoring Him, listening to Him in the two verses. Oliver Cromwell, there was in the British Empire, they had a shortage of silver, and they're looking all over for silver. And after a month, the committee returned with a report saying, we have searched the empire in vain, seeking to find silver. To our dismay, we found none anywhere except in the cathedrals where the statues of the saints are made of choice silver. Next slide. To this he replied, let's melt down the saints and put them into circulation. Wow, that's like what we're supposed to be. Taking us, not necessarily melting us down, I don't want you to have a meltdown or anything, you know, but going into circulation. Going out among the people. A couple more slides. Next one, please. Keys to witnessing could be from this section. First of all, be real, no hypocrisy. What the world is looking for us from us is to be real. Not perfect, to be real. They don't want us to be one way this time, another way this time, and like just make excuses for it. I really think one of the greatest things we can do for the world is when we mess up, when we sin, to apologize and admit it. That's a huge step. Second one. Remember the end, everything's going to be revealed. From this passage, to know that everything is going to be revealed. That we're going to stand before God and held account for everything we've done. That's important to understand that. Third one. Fear God, don't fear people. To go before somebody to share the gospel that you're afraid of. Wondering how they're going to treat you. Realize God is still in control and can turn that situation anyway. And can turn that person's heart. Fear God, not fearing people. And the last one I want to go into, we basically just talked about. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I think a number of people are afraid to witness because they're worried the person's going to ask them a question they don't have an answer to. It's like, what will I say? And this passage just says, first of all, listen to the Holy Spirit. But you know, there's a whole another answer that can go with that. If I'm talking to somebody who's into Buddhism, and I ask them a question. You know, I asked somebody who was in reincarnation. I said to them, you believe in reincarnation? They're like, yeah. I said, do you take any kind of life to any kind of life? Or do you only go from being a person to a person? You know, good karma, bad karma kind of thing. And they're like, oh, I'm not sure. And I said, well, as you're thinking about that, why do we have population growth if there's reincarnation? And they're like, interesting. Let me think about that. I respect the person. I don't think like, woohoo, I won. There's no winning. We're talking about this for them to say, let me think about it, I'll get back with you. I respect that. Likewise, if somebody asks me a question and I don't know the answer, best thing for me to say is, I don't know the answer. Let me get back with you on it. If they hit you with a question that is just, whoa, I had never thought of that before. Great question. Can I think about that and get back with you? But typically you're going to find the Holy Spirit, if you just listen to Him, that verses you've memorized as a child, verses that you've studied, are going to come back and you'll be able to use God's Word. Petra has a song out. You can put the next slide up, please. It says, don't want to be a man pleaser, I want to be a God pleaser. Do you know the song? I thought you were a Petra person. I just want to have the wisdom to discern the two apart. Don't want to be a man pleaser, I want to be a God pleaser. I just want to do the things that pleases the Father's heart. Next slide, please. I just want my life to glorify His Son, to make my Father proud that I'm His child before I'm done. No need to pat me on the back or stop and shake my hand. I just want to hear my Father say, well done, well done. I just want to hear my Father say, well done. We're going to close today with singing a tune you're familiar with. You guys can come on up. A tune you're familiar with, but I've just changed one line. Okay? Just changed one line. And I want, after we sing the song, I